Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay.
Welcome to the third edition of the Pit Lane Parlay Experience with Harding Steinbrenner Racing. We are joined by their crew chief. We're going to call him Red as his nickname here. So we're going to dive right into it here in the interest of time here at Barber Motorsports Park. I'm going to ask an easy question maybe for the fans who, you know, don't know what a crew chief does. What are your main responsibilities on a race weekend?
Well, yeah, thanks. I appreciate you coming out. I'll have to correct you, though. Not crew chief. Lead mechanic.
I was close.
So, no problem, bro. No problem. Craig McCain's our crew chief, and he's doing an awesome job. Really got this ship rolling in the right direction. I'm lead mechanic. And I do. I take care of the front of the car from the roll hoop forward, and a lot of other duties also. But right. So the question was, what kind of things we do? Yep. Right. So here we are. It's go fast day, qualifying day. So we just rolled in and. We had to change brakes, so I'm involved in coordinating that. Various electronic boxes that live inside the cockpit. Some of those have to be cared for, exchanged in and out, depending on what's going on. Making sure that it's got a new radio battery for communication between the pit box to the driver. Making sure basically every nut and bolt doesn't fall off the thing. These things are rodeo, and if you saw us at the last session yesterday, we went rodeoing through the carousel there and looked like a Mickey Thompson off-road truck getting after it. So we're getting ready to start up right now, so it's going to get loud. Some of my duties is with the startup, but I've got a guy covering for me right now. So in pit lane, I'll pay attention to all the changes on the front. So when they do ride height change, so the attitude of the car, it's very fine adjustment. And the engineer will communicate with the driver to determine, hey, we need to make a change here and there, and they'll relay that information to Craig, our crew chief, and he'll relay that to me, and I'll make a small adjustment in pit lane to adjust the attitude of the car. And that happens a bunch of times throughout the session. So that's some of the things I'll be doing. For the race, my particular job is air jack. So the car comes in. The air jack is on the back of the car, right underneath the rear wing. So the outside tire changer and I will run around. I'll plug in the air wand. It's a air fitting, basically, that you plug into the back of the car. And it's a very, very nice fitting air fitting that plugs in and you don't have to hold it, right? So you plug it in. I run over and Donnie Skinner is our outside rear tire changer, one of the fastest changers on pit lane, bar none. He's won pit stop competition, so we both have, actually. So I plug in the air jack and I run around and I pull off Donnie's wheel, help him pull that wheel off. While I'm pulling the wheel off, he's getting the new one, getting ready to put it on. So we kind of work as a team. And we do that in about 4.5 seconds.
I love it.
So typically a full stop with fuel, we're looking at 7 to 8 seconds. So normally we beat the fuel, but when it's go time and it's laps to go and you need to come in and change tires, maybe just a splash, you're going on tires. So it means a lot if you can pull off, you know, 5 second stops, and Donnie regularly can.
Good. Well, you mentioned all the things that you've had to change today, and even before we start recording, you told us some other things that you had to change already this morning. How much of your job actually goes to plan, and how much of it is just constantly putting out fires?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I didn't tell you everything we were changing.
Yeah.
we got to keep some stuff hidden, right?
Of course.
But, yeah, it, there is a lot of that because it's very fluid, you know. It's kind of like a football game. You know, you have a plan of attack, and you work that plan, but you're always able to adjust to the competition, to the environment, to the circumstances. So the mark of a good team is being able to adjust and recover, even, you know. We're all human, we make mistakes, and you know, that's the beauty of a team. We all lift each other up if there's a mistake, and keep pushing. So we all want to win. You know, my motto is for a lot of these guys, you know, I learned it from Tony Stewart. You know, I'll wreck my mom to win. You know, so we just want to win. You know.
Yeah. All right, back to me here. You know, after your first day, Colton was P2 in the second practice, and you know, one of the things he said was the red tires were diabolical. Do you feel, you know, confident in today going into qualifying that you guys have another you know, fast six in you, or is there a lot that you guys are still worried about as the as Saturday unfolds here?
Oh yeah, for sure. We found out some stuff overnight with these red tires to help us go a little better. A couple little tweaks on the car overnight. You know, it's all just a little, you know, you're refining it, you know. You're tweaking it a little bit. If this did that, then a little bit more will do that, you know. And so, yeah, we're very confident. I think the most confident guy is probably Colton, being 19 years old and, you know, just having the mindset of a professional. And he's cool. In St. Pete, you know, being his first time, he came in and we were going to the fast six, you know, or we're advancing to Q2. And his breathing, you could see a driver who's really working. His chest is heaving, you know, and Cole's like, you know, very normal, you know. And I looked at him and I kind of gave him the two eyes, you know, hey, focus on me for a second. I said, breathe, exhale, breathe. You know, my son wrestles high school wrestling, and the coach is always looking at him, breathe in, breathe out, you know, and it helps. And I looked at him and I did that. He said, you know, all you see is his eyes, right? And you see the eyes go, I got you. So you knew he was locked in, I call it, you know. So I think he's the biggest, he's got the best mindset of everybody here right now. I just calm, cool, and hey, yeah, I know I can do it, right?
Yeah, the confidence he's shown, you know, this weekend, just, you know, hearing him in the press conferences and whatnot is amazing for an 18-year-old.
Oh, for sure. I have a 17-year-old, and of course he's very mature himself, but a lot of 19-year-olds aren't, you know, and so it's, you find yourself relating to him as a veteran, you know, someone who's, you know, has got it locked in, you know. And I think you dive into his history and his background, and that comes from the people who have been around him, right? Having guys like, you know, obviously his dad, who I actually bolted in, at Players Foresight, and at early KV Racing. He came in and ran for us at Laguna. So I bolted him in, and I always kid us. I mean, I bolted you in. Your son wasn't even born. So I'm feeling my age now, which is kind of funny because our crew is one of the oldest crews on pit lane. They're over the wall guys, you know, and so we have the youngest race winner in the NDT IndyCar series, and the oldest crew guys changing his tires. So I always like to point that out. It's kind of fun.
So when you look at this crew, I mean, you guys have really assembled quite a team, and so there was a lot of surprise, you know, outside your team about what you guys did 2 weeks ago. Was there a lot of surprise within?
A lot of surprise on our part that we won?
Yeah.
No. No surprise on our part. We're not doing a whole lot different stuff on the fit than we did last year. We pride ourselves on building awesome race cars, and in fact, our first season out, we did more laps than anybody else, and so there was no surprise that put in the position that we would win. You know, it was kind of like that yellow showed up, and you know, we had legit speed the whole time, and okay, yellow flag, P1, okay, yeah, this is going our way now, we got this. That's not overconfidence, it's just knowing that yeah, you know, you like I talked about earlier, you work a plan and it's gonna work out.
All right, here, we'll wrap it up with one more question each. So coming from Circuit of the Americas, you know, despite it also being a natural, you know, road course, what are some of the major setup differences that, you know, on your front end of the car that you have to deal with here at Barber this weekend? How's the car set up differently?
Well, let's see, it's not drastic. It's a typical road course type setup, so it's not like we're getting ready to go to Long Beach, so that's going to be a bit drastic, or going to an oval, you know. So it's not a big difference for sure. It's just refining it, you know. Maybe there's a couple corners here that are specific where we can gain a lot more time, so they maybe focus on that a little different and set the car up differently there. But yeah, it's very similar.
Awesome.
Colton said that Cody got in the sim and did some work, and he felt like he gathered some information to develop a really good baseline for what you guys were wanting to do here. What's something that you can glean from a simulator that you can put on the car to show, and it shows up on the track?
Right. Well, that was a big help. Thanks to Honda for bringing us into the sim program there, and that was a big help. Of course, you know, Colton, going back to mindset, he's won here, you know. So he's confident with the place. He knows the nuances of the track, and they do relate to the bigger cars, but quite a bit different still. But the sim program is a big thing nowadays. You know, F1 teams have their own, and they hire guys to do nothing but drive the sim. So there is some benefit to it, for sure. But we don't race sims, you know. We race here. So I think he found some good things there, and we're hoping that we can get some more time back there and keep getting better.
Well, listen, thanks for some time this morning. We'll be back with a recap after the race, and thank you very much. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate you. Thanks for being here.
with the weekend recap here with Mike Knapp after we talked to Scott Davin, also nicknamed Red, who works for Harding Steinbrenner Racing. Again, lead mechanic, my mistake, and also the airjack operator during the race. Really great to talk to. Hope you guys enjoyed that first 15-minute segment where we got to talk to him. Some cool stories there. But Mike, what looked like a promising weekend for Harding Steinbrenner ultimately led to heartbreak. So let's touch on qualifying first. Colton started P9, I believe. I don't have it in front of me here. I only have the end results. But what did you think of qualifying? Do you think he had enough for the fast six, or was, you know, ninth a pretty reasonable starting spot for what he had going all weekend?
I think ninth was a good spot to start because he was the fastest rookie. And as we saw over the course of the weekend and some of the drivers said in the post-race, the race belonged to experience. I mean, when you look at the podium yesterday, you had a 38, a 40, and a 42-year-old on the podium. And it just, even looking at the finishing classification, you know, the top nine guys are all past champions or Indy 500 winners or anything like that, with the exception of Erickson, who raced his way up, did a heck of a job. But Colton did a good job in qualifying. Obviously, I'm sure they were looking to go in the fast six again, because except for the penalty at St. Pete, they would have been 3 for 3, or if they had, except for the penalty, and if they had made it this weekend. But, you know, they've been qualifying well, but I just don't think this, with everything that was going on with tires and the rubber on the track and all the factors that were going on, I just don't think it was a weekend where, you know, drivers who don't have as much experience as the others were going to qualify well. So I think starting ninth was a good place for him to be.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think, listen, the bottom line is, while he might not have made the fast six this week, he's still 3 for 3 in making it into the fast 12, which not every rookie can say, whether it's, you know, their fault or, you know, the fault of the red flags in the first couple two qualifying sessions.
Right.
But, you know, nonetheless, very, very valiant effort by Harding. Herta to start ninth for Harding Steinbrenner in a really challenging weekend. I think, you know, in the end, even Alex Rossi and Hinchcliffe and other drivers were just, mystified at the changing track conditions and, you know, tire with a different, rubber with a different series on track all weekend. So,
right.
For him to qualify ninth and start the race competitive, I think he moved up a couple spots to seventh or eighth. I know he got around Will Power in the first couple laps there, only to have a problem where the engine was cutting out at certain points due to a fuel pickup issue, which they hung on as long as they could, essentially, until they got lapped. And then it was a 35 lap effort to get it fixed, fired up, and run a couple of laps just to, you know, get some experience. And I don't know if you noticed, but I noticed when looking at the lap times, he was running lap times that were equally competitive with anybody who was actually running in the top 10 yesterday. That's still great to see that even though those laps didn't really mean too much, I don't think it improved his position at all. But
right.
You know, he was still competitive. He still had that competitive nature to go back out there and, you know, use this as a learning experience. And I don't think you can say enough about how mature he is, just like, Scott was talking about in the first half of this episode. This kid is an ultimate competitor.
Right. And he was doing, especially when you look at before he started having his issues, he was running laps and the 111 range, which was right out with the leaders. And then they had the problem when he came back out, like you said, he was still running those really good laps. So that's kind of the frustrating thing about racing, is there's an element of it that's beyond your control, whether that's mechanical or whether you get caught up with yellow flags or whatever. And yeah, it was just really unfortunate because I think they were one of the few cars in the field that had the opportunity to move forward, given his lap times before the mechanical issues started happening. I think they had the car to move forward, and he proved it afterwards that that they were good. When the car was good, they were very good. So, but yeah, like you said, I think it's really it's a testament to both the driver and the team for what they did yesterday. You know, you don't at this level, nobody gives up, of course, and you always want to make the most of, you know, the situation. And but you know, some teams might have once they reach the point, I think I mentioned this to you yesterday, is once they reach the point where they couldn't improve their position, you've seen teams, they just drag it back to the garage and call it a day. And for this team to just pull the car behind the wall, 10 guys going to work, working together, and everything that they did to get the car running and then to go out and compete. Sometimes you gotta compete with yourself. When you're in a situation like that, even when the race is lost and everything is not going your way, you got to go out and compete with yourself. And I think that's what they did. And I think they can leave here, and it's a quick turnaround to Long Beach, where they'll be, you know, they practice in Long Beach 4 days from now. So it's good to get that gremlin out of the way too, send the car back out on track and realize that everything's okay. Now they can hit the ground running in Long Beach, and you know, it's unfortunate what happened this week, but you just got to check it off and say, you know, okay, we're still you know, still fifth in points, so it wasn't sure. Like it was this disastrous day that sent them out of the top 10. They're still fifth in points. They're still competitive. They're doing everything they need to do. So nothing but going forward, and nothing but going up come Friday morning or afternoon when practice begins in Long Beach.
Yeah, a very good point. So we'll wrap it up with a quick Long Beach / Harding Steinbrenner prediction preview. We'll keep it short since it's you know, a short week here. I think we're going to see another Fast 12 appearance from Colton. He's been consistent pretty much all year at this point, so I think we can, you know, expect that. But, you know, Long Beach is a tough place, so, you know, I keep thinking maybe there's a race that he might slip back and start 16th or 17th or something like that, but, you know, he's consistently surprising us, so I'll say, you know, another 10th to 12th type of starting position and, you know, a clean race, as long as he can stay out of the drama, you know, in the first couple corners. If, you know, I mean, we haven't seen that much this year in any race, but if we can stay out of, if he can stay out of trouble there, I think he'll be in line for another good finish. What do you think?
I think as well, so as well, I mean, top 12, just, you can't over or underestimate the importance of making it through that first round. Because if you end up beyond that, it's just a very, very difficult day right from the get-go. At least if you're in that 8 through 12 range, and as we saw that a little bit yesterday, you could still make something of it. Farther back, it's a little difficult. You know, some of the more experienced drivers were able to work their way up. You know, like a Newgarden went 16-4. You know, so a top 12 in qualifying is, you know, a good result for them. And I think anything in the top 10 will be a good finish for them. I don't know how much experience Colton has at Long Beach. So, you know, the nice thing about St. Pete and about Barber and some of the other tracks that we'll go to the rest of the year, he's raced on them. I don't know if he's ever been on
them. I don't think so.
Yeah, so you know, we'll see how the race goes. And like Long Beach has had, I haven't had time to look at the podium finishers for the last years, but Long Beach has had 6 different race winners in the last 6 years. So it's kind of one of those events that really shakes things up. So, but yeah, if he could, you know, if he could maybe make it into the fast six, I see a top five finish. If he makes it into the fast 12, you know, I see him somewhere in the top 10, and that's good enough for points and keeps him in the top 10 in points, which is really important. And I hope he does well. It was really disappointing to see, you know, he had a new sponsor on the side of the car and this week, and there were a lot of people there from that sponsor. And, you know, this one, he's got King Taco on the side of the car coming up this week. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of people there as well. And he's a Southern California guy. So I'm sure he's really going to want to do very, very well this weekend. So he'll definitely be motivated for a couple reasons. But also racing close to home and going from first to 24th and, you know, a matter of two races. I think he's going to want to get I think the whole team will be motivated to get that bad taste out of their mouth and really put forth a great effort this weekend.
Yeah, very well said. I don't think I have anything much to add to that. So yeah, you will see the King Taco's number 88 car. Sounds kind of funny to say, this weekend at Long Beach, on Sunday afternoon. Practice starts on Friday. So, good luck to the guys there. We will be back with our next, Tuesday release episode, after the Indy GP. So it should be a fun one. I don't know who we have for that one yet, but I know during the month of May, one episode, we will have Colton himself on here. So tune in to this one and our regular Friday episode coming up this week. Hope you enjoyed Pato last week, another rookie, and we will talk to you guys soon.